With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Twitter bio is getting a little weighty here for our man Joe Marino, who's on the West Her Hotline. It feels like I could gobble up a lot of your time with us here, just laying out all the things you got your fingers in here. Of course, Draft Network is the lead there, but it's Draft Dudes and Locked On Bills and... Man, you are all over it, Joe. Nice to have you back on. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. It's always about creating content all day. So
yeah, man.
Nice to come on with you guys.
You are a content creator, no doubt about that. Content for us, content for you, content for everybody. So I've spent a lot of time today talking about the Bills running back situation, Joe. And Brandon Bean shared some comments with our Sal Capaccio that are up at our website, WGR550.com, and competition, the word is used a lot, but Frank Gore pushing and the young guys pushing, and we'll see which guy is hitting the holes the best and which guy the line seems to trust the best. And I don't know, man, ever since really Gore, Yeldon, and then the draft pick of Devin Singletary, I've been just sort of waiting for a shoe to drop on LeSean McCoy. And I feel like what I'm reading from Brandon Bean today is just nudging me closer to that than I've ever been. What are your thoughts on how the Bills are situated at running back currently?
Well, when you think about the running back situation, I kind of believe that it's going to be a two-headed attack, mostly with Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy. And it's not like if the Bills were going to move on from McCoy, it would have happened by now. You know, in 2017 was a lot of rumblings about him being not part of the mix, and then in 2018 again, and he's still here, and throughout the course of it, up until recently, kind of been very indicative from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott that LeSean McCoy's the guy. And I think this is going to be a brand-new-looking tandem in 2020. But with Josh Allen in year two, to have a couple of veterans alongside him in the backfield and Gore and McCoy, maybe that's going to go a long way for him feeling more comfortable. It's going to go a long way in him having the protection that he needs when you need a back in there to pick up blitzers and pass pro and chip off the edges. And in 2020, when he's in year three of his career, they could be better equipped to take on some younger talent alongside him in the backfield. I don't sleep on that Frank Gore signing. This is a player that I know he's older, but he was very effective for the Miami Dolphins last year behind a bad offensive line and a team that couldn't pass the ball. And he had the most yards per contact for his career, most yards per contact on average after contact for his entire career since his rookie season. So he's still effective, and I think that he's going to play a bigger role than maybe some people might think in 2019.
If he does claim a bigger role, like, do you think it makes a lot of sense to keep McCoy in any kind of a diminished role here? Like, would that work for McCoy? Do you think that would work for the Bills? Like, there are certain guys, I feel like Gore and McCoy are almost equals in this way. They're both guys that you have on your team, and I think you want to make sure that you're not marginalizing them in any way because of, you know, how respected they are and what they've already accomplished in the league.
Well, if anything, they're complementary players in terms of their skill sets. They win in different ways, and I like that in terms of a duo. I think the real challenge here for this running back situation is making sure that you get enough of a look at Devin Singletary to feel comfortable with him being one of your lead guys in 2020. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Singletary is a really interesting player, and he has good vision, he has good contact balance, but he just isn't necessarily the best athlete. And for the ways that he won at Florida Atlantic, very curious to see how it translates to the NFL level. And I think that there needs to be opportunities for him to touch the football to find out what he can be. Basically, as a running back, when you're drafted and you're in your prime. And so the Bills need to find out really quick what they have in Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about him having been a third-round pick, Joe. You know, with the crowd they've got at running back, this is a part of the motivation for even talking about McCoy in the way that I am. Gore, I've got McCoy, I've got TJ Yeldon. I mean, he doesn't have to have a spot cemented, but they did sign him to a two-year contract, and he is really the accomplished pass catcher of the group. And then Singletary, and I get to game day, I don't want Devin Singletary, a third-round pick, inactive. Like, I want him to have a role so that, like you're saying, I can find out either, A, can he do more for me this year than I should have expected, or at the very least, can I count on him moving forward when Gore and McCoy have played out their contracts?
Yeah, the interesting thing about TJ Yeldon, we're talking about potentially the Bills' fourth running back, and when you're going to be the fourth running back on a team, you have to play special teams. And TJ Yeldon, for his entire career, has never played a snap of special teams. And that doesn't bode well for him. He comes from this Jacksonville situation where you know that they want to run the football, a heavy power run football team. Leonard Fournette's had a lot of question marks about him so far in his career. They knew what they had in TJ Yeldon, and they let him walk. They brought in three veterans and drafted Ryquell Armstead. And so they completely overhauled their backup running back situation, which is a premium position for the Jaguars. I get nervous, despite there being a two-year contract, that TJ Yeldon is going to be a football player that's going to be on this team. I think you can find a back like TJ Yeldon just about every offseason, and I'm just not sure that when you think about that fourth running back, that it will be him when you have proven special teams contributors like Dina Rice Perry and Patrick DeMarco if the Bills do keep a fullback.
Talking with Joe Marino, senior NFL draft analyst for the Draft Network, as well as working on the Locked On Bills podcast here on WGR with me. So do you think McCoy's year last year was more a combination of factors that were outside of his control, i.e. rookie quarterback and not a lot of passing weapons, so thus no respect for the passing game at all, and then the line struggling? Or do you think there are signs of deterioration in his abilities at this point?
I think probably both. Maybe, you know, I certainly, he's getting older and his physical skill set is not what it was 2 or 3 years ago. But when you talk about this Bills offense last year, an offensive line that lost Eric Wood and Richie Incognito unexpectedly, traded away Cordy Glenn, you have a lot of new pieces up front. Four different quarterbacks are starting. You have your starting receivers are both cut by week 13. And I just feel like it's a very difficult situation for any running back to find production in last year's offense, because there's no way as a defense going up against the Bills offense that you're going to lose the football game because LeSean McCoy beat you. You're going to make those quarterbacks that played for the Bills last year beat you. And I just think he was banged up a little bit, and all of those factors, plus that he is declining because he is aging, all of that led to a lackluster season. I think with Frank Gore back in the mix, LeSean McCoy is a prideful man. We know that he wants to get those 12,000 career rushing yards. I think there's a chance that you could see a bounce back year from McCoy. I'm not predicting 12 or 1,300 yards. At least a season when we look back at it, the Bills will say, I'm glad LeSean McCoy was part of this team.
It almost seems like it would be, I think, pretty surprising, given that Gore is here, if McCoy had 1,000 yards, right? I mean, they're probably going to, like, Gore is going to play a role that'll probably be significant enough that it would keep the Bills from having a 1,000-yard rusher, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't anticipate any of the Bills running backs getting 1,000 yards, but I think you'll see a decent distribution between Gore and McCoy. But then again, like we've talked about already, you've got to see what you have in Singletary. And if he winds up getting hot, right, then you got to ride that a little bit. So I don't think any one back is going to have a great statistical season, but how they can work in terms of a stable of backs could be really important. And you like to think with the new weapons outside of receiver, Josh Allen in year two, the opportunities to run the football will be much better this season.
So, what is the likelihood that this line, the Bills went, they went volume over quality, I guess with the exception of Mitch Morse, who was arguably the best center available on the open market, and they landed him and paid him a big dollar. And then there's a lot of guys that have started a lot of games that are on pretty modest contracts, but I guess the hope is that they'll find five guys that can play, and they've also got a rookie in there in Ford that they're, I think, pretty bullish on. How much better do you think it's reasonable to expect this line to be with all – we're looking at probably four new starters with Deion Dawkins holding down left tackle.
Yeah, I think it's a big concern entering the season. I feel like the Bills have viable starters at every spot. You like to think that Mitch Morse is going to be a high-impact center. Deion Dawkins builds off of his rookie season in 2017. But that Bobby Johnson in his first year as an offensive line coach in the NFL, that he finds the right mix of guys, and he finds them quick. Because the Bills, I mean, the real disappointment for OTAs and minicamp and stuff was that Mitch Morse wasn't really part of the mix. Quentin Spain, who I kind of felt had a good chance of claiming a starting spot, he breaks his thumb, and he's got a setback already. And so you've got to find the right mix of guys, because them gelling together, the communication piece of it is so important. And then when you look at the Bills' schedule, the opportunity to really stack wins together, it happens in the first half of the season. And the Bills need to be in position to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Things get tougher late in the year, and the Bills aren't going to be in a great position to climb themselves out of a hole just because the opponents are so challenging later in the season. The Bills got to get the right five together, and they've got to hit the ground running early to take advantage of a weaker first half of the season schedule.
So, Joe, how about at receiver here? We've got, you know, the free agent signings, John Brown, Cole Beasley. Most of the fantasy people that we talk to sort of favor the proven commodities there as being the top targets, like the, you know, expected catches. A lot of guys seem to lean towards Beasley and Brown, and I mean, I get that. Foster has a pretty small sample size, but I'm pretty bullish on Foster. I think they've left themselves enough room here, even with Brown and Beasley being signed and Zay Jones still being here and then whatever else depth there is available, that if Foster does progress, that he could emerge as the Bills' number one wideout. What do you think of that? Does he have that potential to you?
I do. I think that he's probably the most complete receiver in terms of upside and the areas of the field that he can attack. And obviously the vertical skill set, we saw that last year, but I really think maybe it was underappreciated late in the season how more he got became involved in the offense and the different levels of the field he started to win at. Now you add in these other pieces like a John Brown, who's going to another field stretcher that can really push coverage and lift coverage vertically, that it's going to create more opportunities for the underneath patterns that I know Robert Foster can run, that we know Cole Beasley can run, Zay Jones, getting the tight ends involved, getting the running backs involved, all because of that spacing. A lot of people have been asking me about how do all these guys work together and get on the field at the same time. The Bills went empty a ton last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to happen a lot this year. You're going to see five wide receivers, and you're going to have multiple slots. So maybe Cole Beasley and Zay Jones are both better from the slot, but you're going to have multiple slots on the field at the same time. I think this is all about spacing, and you make a good point. The guy that I think is going to be most equipped and primed to take advantage of the space, and the guy with the biggest ceiling in terms of being a long-term fixture here, guy that's got chemistry with Josh Allen already, is Robert Foster. If there's a receiver that I believe is going to have a good statistical season of all of these guys, I think it's going to be Foster.
I'm glad you mentioned and referenced their tendency to go empty and spread the field out. And it feels to me, and I didn't study this, I haven't looked at the breakdowns to know if it's pre-Allen injury versus post-Allen injury, but my eyes, like my memories, my recollection watching the games tells me that was more prevalent after Allen returned from his injury. And that I'm encouraged by that, if that's correct, that it felt to me like maybe Brian Daboll kind of went to school while Allen was out and figured out maybe more so, hey, let's see. We had an offense set up for Nathan Peterman to be our quarterback. I mean, oh my gosh, the folly of that it was almost hilarious to even think about now. But that's what they had, and then Allen got thrust in there, and then once he was out for a little while, it felt to me like they had some very different-looking elements after Allen came back. Does that sound right to you?
You're exactly right. The Bills used the most different personnel groupings of any team in the NFL last year. And a big part of that was late in the season when the Bills started to go empty. And that was a very good thing for Josh Allen. And what that does, when you're empty and you go five wide, you almost force the defense to be in man coverage. And when they're in man coverage, two really good things happen for a young quarterback like Josh Allen. Number one, it makes him hard to rotate coverage and disguise looks, and it really simplifies what he's reading in terms of the defense. But when you're in man coverage, there's no eyes in the backfield, which creates very favorable opportunities for him to take up with, off with the football and create with his legs. And so that was a big adjustment that Brian Daboll made late in the season that, you know, with Josh Allen's time away, and really I think gave them the opportunity to implement that type of stuff. You make a good point as well that early in the season you saw an offense that was designed for Nate Peterman to run, which is not really tailor-made for Josh Allen where he is, where he was coming into the NFL coming out of Wyoming. So, yes, the empty portion of it is good for Josh Allen, and I think it'll be good for him again in 2019.
Allen overall, like what kind of a step do you think is realistic for him, Joe? With all this taken into account, like recognizing what they've added and how they finished the year and how they utilized him and tried to play to his strengths, I would expect that that only gets enhanced here going into year two. Like what's a good step for Josh Allen?
Well, I think in order to talk about that step, I think we need to talk a little bit about some of the things that are different for him right now. Obviously, the personnel is better. We've already kind of established that. But the upgrade at quarterbacks coach, last year, you know, their quarterback coach, David Culley, he was never an NFL quarterbacks coach before in his career. The last time he coached quarterbacks specifically was 1990 at UTEP. I thought that was a major disservice to him. And then you had the situation with McCarron, Peterman, and Allen going into the season. All three of those guys wanted to be the starter. And what that really did is it robbed Josh Allen of reps throughout the course of the offseason to really build chemistry and build a volume of plays that was favorable to him entering his rookie season. And so with Josh Allen being the guy from day one with an established quarterbacks coach with better personnel across the board on offense, you like to think that the stage is set for him to take that step. And what I really hope to see from Josh Allen this year is a quarterback that is more comfortable working his progressions, seeing the entire field, and being a little bit more controlled under chaos, knowing where his outlets are. And I think with the spacing type of stuff that we talked about earlier, that opportunity is going to be there. We obviously know that Josh Allen works really hard. His intangibles are there. But can he put it all together? I think that's kind of been the challenge throughout watching him at Wyoming and even into last season is, can he put all of the components into playing quarterback into one play? We know he can throw the ball down the field. He can make every throw. We know he can run. We know he can make people miss in the pocket. But can he combine it all consistently to keep the Bills' offense on schedule? There's a reason to believe that he can do that. It just needs to happen.
Talking with Joe Marino, senior analyst for the Draft Network, also one of the hosts of the Locked On Bills podcast. How about on the other side of the ball real quick, Joe? I mean, we focus so much on offense and the running back depth chart and, of course, Josh Allen's development. I wrote about the season and expectations here, year three with McDermott, year three with Bean, year two with Allen. They've got pieces on defense, too, here at each level. They've got a stud that is highly drafted, and Tremaine Edmonds at middle linebacker. I guess Tredavious White wasn't that highly drafted. He was 27th overall, but he's a stud at cornerback. And now Ed Oliver, 9th overall this year, is added to the mix. How good do you think this defense can be?
It's already really good, and I think that the addition to the defense of Ed Oliver is going to make a big deal. There's no replacing Kyle Williams and what he meant to the football team. But I think what you get in Ed Oliver, especially comparing him right now to where Kyle Williams was over the last couple seasons of his career, is a much more dynamic player, a guy that's better equipped to be a penetration-style wrecking ball three technique that I don't think that Sean McDermott had, you know, during his time with the Bills. And that's an important position in a 4-3 defense. You like to think between E.J. Gaines and Kevin Johnson and Levi Wallace coming back that the cornerback opposite of Trey White is going to be a much more stable position than it was at times last year. And so all of that, the continuity, the communication piece of it should be even better. There's a lot to like about this defense. I expect it to be one of the better units in the league, and really the pass rush to me is what's got to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Hughes last year was a really good pass rusher. The sack totals weren't there, but the pressures were very consistent. Well, Jerry Hughes is applying consistent heat off the right edge, but there's no other pressure that's complementing that coming from any other direction, not up the middle or not from the left edge. And when there's only one guy getting pressure, it creates very easy opportunities for the quarterback to step up or flee. Now you have an Ed Oliver in the middle that you like to think that interior push is going to be there. And I guess hopefully you know, with Shaq Lawson in a contract year, you know, the Bills didn't pick up that fifth-year option. You know, he's wanting to position himself to get paid, and if you get sacks, you get paid in the NFL. You can get the best version of him. Can Trent Murphy rediscover his 2016 form? If these things can happen, the pass rush can take that next step, and I think that's going to be the critical component in this team getting more takeaways and building on the strong defenses that Sean McDermott's had in 2017.
Are you finding, Joe, as you look at pass rush around the league in the last year or maybe a little more than that, that teams are maybe leaning more on guys coming through the middle? I mean, everybody would like to have Aaron Donald, and that's the idea when you draft Ed Oliver, is that you're hoping to find somebody that can be some reasonable facsimile of that kind of a penetrator and disruptor in the middle. Given how quickly quarterbacks are getting the ball out, I mean, offenses are just more and more offsetting those pass rushes from the edge by getting the ball out in 2-point-whatever seconds, and it's just not time to get home, whereas, you know, in the middle, you're that much closer and you have a chance to even be that much more disruptive. Is that a trend in the league, or am I overstating that?
No, I think you're exactly right. Look at the entire AFC East between, you know, Quinn and Williams, Ed Oliver, and Christian Wilkins. All three teams, not the Patriots, took interior penetrators that can rush the passer defensively, and I think that is a big deal. With today's NFL offenses, they're attacking with pace and space, and the easiest way to disrupt that is with pressure up the middle. Then you need speed on the second level, and I think versatile safeties. I think that's really how you counter the way that these NFL offenses are playing. But pressure up the middle is always undefeated, and you're seeing more athletes coming into the league that project. Everyone wants that next Aaron Donald-type player, and you're seeing those guys vaulted up the draft board every year. It's definitely a premium thing.
All right. What have I left out here? What have I left unchecked? Are we good? Is there anything you need to promote while we've got you on the line here, Joe?
I guess if I wanted to promote anything, I'd like to say happy birthday to my grandmother, Judy. She just celebrated her birthday, and of course, her and her husband, Don Schubert, they just celebrated their anniversary. So happy birthday, Grandma, and happy anniversary to the both of you.
All right, that is very nice. Nice shout-out. All right, Joe, we always love these visits. Enjoy the analysis and all the work you're doing with the folks at Draft Network and everywhere else that you got your fingers in. Thanks for the time on a Friday night, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.